Radio, Colorado Network. During the day, we're all about Wall Street. But at night, we become Main Street Radio. Main Street Radio is a spotlight on the backbone of America's economy, small business. And now, here's tonight's host of Main Street Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. It's Friday night, July 2nd, 2012. Hey, folks, it's the last regular night of high school football out there at St. Vrain High School. If you're out and about and you want to see some fun games, get down to Everly Montgomery Field. The game starts at 7. Pre-game starts at 6:45 right here on KRCN 1060 The Biz. And, you know, this is a crazy time we're living in. It's an election year. You know, we got all of this stuff going on. We're getting bombarded with all kind of information. John, I don't know the last time I saw an advertisement for something that is useful.
That's true. I mean, you know, Colorado is a swing state. They're, Obama was in yesterday at Thursday on CU campus. Romney is coming in over the weekend. I mean, it's amazing how much is being thrown this way. And I just read a thing in the paper that they're spending $95 million in Colorado on ads. Do you believe that?
No, I don't, because I'm not seeing those checks come in.
I know.
You know, they need to get down to the grassroots if they really want to make something happen. And that's where I get really frustrated with the feds, the government. It's no longer for the people, by the people. It's for the corporations, by the lobbyists. And, my Lord, we're being manipulated.
That's a fact. I mean, I would love to see them eliminate PACs and things like that. I know it's not going to happen, but they're estimating it's this presidential campaign is going to be over $1 billion by the time it's done.
And let's hope we don't have any pregnant or hanging chads. Oh, Lordy B. So, you know, I want to dedicate tonight's show to really get an understanding of what's going on. And I came across this author. His name is Donald Mann. He's got a BA and an MA in chemistry. He's been a CEO. He's a scientist. And he's a very spiritual man. And what caught my eye was the catchphrase was how political slogans influence the vote. And the conversation's going to be more than just political slogans. We're going to get into really how we're all being manipulated without realizing it. And if we get back to basics in some of our religion and beliefs, we would be living a lot better life. So with that, I'd like to introduce Don Mann to the show. Hey, welcome to the show, Don.
Hey, Tom and John, thank you. Thank you for inviting me. I'm glad to be here.
Well, welcome.
I tell you what, it's been a roller coaster ride. I mean, you know, trying to get this scheduled, everything going on here, getting bombarded with all of the mud and everything with the politicians. But this isn't really where this all started. This book you wrote, Oh God, Now What? Tell me how you started this out. What really drove you to write this book?
Okay, what got me to write the book, Okay, God, Now What, was that it was really a nice day. I was headed into work, walked into my boss's office feeling really great, life was good, and when he got done with me, I walked out of there numb. And I learned what I learned to call later the assignment from hell.
Hey, both John and I know those.
Oh, yes, we know those, yeah.
Yeah, and immediately as I came out of the office, another VP met me in the hallway, and here's what he said. Better than you have tried to turn that plan around, and they failed. So long, it's been nice knowing you.
Oh, boy, encouragement, huh?
Yeah, not only was the job impossible, but there went my family life. It was halfway across the country. At the time, I was living in Florida, and I was now going to spend all my time in the St. Louis area. But, you know, it sounded really good. I was going to be president of my own division. I was given complete higher and fire authority except for one problem. It wasn't a management problem. It was a technical problem. It was scientists and engineers in a high-technology project that weren't going anywhere. And they were locked into, listen to these words, fear, anger, denial, and fault finding.
Oh, boy. Okay.
And the only way out for them was to get out of fear so they could, number one, face the facts, number two, move into creativity, and number three, own the problem to fix it. And no matter what I did, I couldn't throw them in any more limiting fear because they were stuck now, and I couldn't get out of this hole by getting them more stuck. On top of all that, a whole town and thousands of lives depended upon us solving this problem. And the challenge is that fear is contagious. If you have fear inside of you, if you're operating from fear, either subtle or overtly, people pick up on it in a heartbeat. So the first key was for me to keep myself from falling into mind-numbing and limiting fear and anger. And second was somehow to give them hope. So what I did was it was such a big problem to me, it just threw me to my knees. I started to go to the Lord and say, okay, here's what I do. And I started to develop for myself a program of really positive affirmation in Christ, who I am and what I am because of the work of Jesus, and for myself. And then as I went through the day, I started to see things happening around others. So I kind of went forward, kind of like a radar beam, scanning the horizon, looking for where the help was going to show up, and we started to move forward. And as we did it, you know what? In 6 years, I turned that business around from failing to $500 million in sales. And that same program that I used for myself, I later put into the book, Okay, God, Now What? So that anybody can do anything just like that for any problem they have.
Now, you're sitting there saying you took a failing company and turned it around into a $5 million in sales.
500.
500. 500
million. 500
million.
Yeah, I mean, geez, drop a couple of zeros. Did it really take, retooling the whole place, all of that? I mean, was it a total gut the system and start over?
No, it really had to do with retooling the way those guys viewed themselves, their own personal self-identity. And what I found myself doing, I really wasn't aware of what I was doing, but I started to call them up into their greatest. I said, you know, you guys are top engineers and scientists. Nobody in the world knows this stuff but you. And if anybody's going to fix it, you can do it, and you guys tell me you're the greatest. So therefore, I'm expecting you to do it, and here's how we're going to do it. And we just started tackling the problems. You know, took a piece at a time, started working our way through it.
So a little cheerleading, motivational, telling them, hey, you have the answers. You just need to tap into them.
Right. So even though I was getting my strength from the scriptures, and daily I was getting myself washed in those things, but I wasn't talking scripturally directly to the people. I was talking very practical, you know, in a program management kind of style, dealing with the technical problems, dealing with the issues, the personality issues, and everything else, was just working our way through all the mud and getting it going. And you know what? After about 6 years, the whole group started making good decisions on a regular basis. That environment lasted for at least 10 years after I left the operation.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, we got a lot more discussion coming on. Folks, it's not all doom and gloom out there. We can sit there and turn this boat around. We just got to get the right motivation, focus, and just like me, count on your religion, support, believe in God, it works.